Good morning, EAA. I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Digital Dave.
And with us here today in the studio, a man very, very dear to a lot of EAAers, Mr. Kermit Weeks.
Hey, guys. Thanks for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. Okay, now, this is an unusual situation because you're known for the Fantasy of Flight Museum. You're known for a lot of unique aircraft. But we're here to talk about a children's book.
Yeah, no, I'm here.
Kind of a strange segue.
No, it's great. I'm very excited. The bulk of them are actually still coming from the printer, so it cost me quite a bit of money to have them air freighted over here from China. And I'm down at the EA warehouse selling my new book, Austin the Ostrich and the Fantasy of Flight. The first two children's books were about airplanes. This one's about a bird, and you can probably figure out the metaphor, but it's a great, great book. I'm extremely excited about it.
And it is definitely... As you said, you say it's for adults, and I definitely saw that when I read it, because it's like he has a midlife crisis. That's exactly what it sounded like.
Well, it's interesting. The metaphor should be obvious. You know, at some level, you know, we all live with our heads in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
But at the other level, you know, we have wings, which symbolizes potential to go beyond what we perceive ourselves to be. And that's really kind of where I'm going with the whole Fantasy of Flight concept. As a parallel, if I was Walt Disney, this is my Mickey Mouse. This defines my concept. There's not an airplane in the book, but when you read the book, and it looks like a children's book, and it's a great children's book, but there's a very adult message in
there.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, great.
The part about he had to live with his choices, I was like, wow, that's pretty deep.
Well, we all do, because yeah. Austin effectively symbolizes all of us. So even if people... don't come by and actually buy a book. Please come by. You're welcome to read the book, because I'm just trying to touch people by letting them touch themselves.
Yeah. So. Now, where did you get the name Austin? That's a very unusual name.
Well, it's interesting. My middle name is Austin.
Spelled the same way?
No.
Okay.
A-U-S-T-I-N.
Right.
And so when I was writing the book and all that, because of trademark things, you know, if you can do something that's a lot more different, it's easier, to maintain the trademark. So I was looking through a book of 10,000 baby names or something, and I came across four spellings for Austin, and one of them was the one that I ended up using, which is very unusual, O-S-T-Y-N-N. And if you look at the cover of the book, Austin the Ostrich, spelled with two O's, in effect become I's.
Mm-hmm.
And are shaped symbols like eggs, which symbolize new birth and stuff. So that's part of the reason.
Put a lot of thought into that.
Oh, there's a lot of thought into the book.
Yeah.
In fact, when you read the book, the first time you'll get something out of it, but there's a lot of little art innuendos and other things in the book that every time you go through it, I think you're going to see something different.
That's the hallmark of a great story.
Kermit, you're involved in a lot of aviation activities down there at Fantasy of Flight, and I understand that you're redoing some things down there. Where do you find the time to do books?
You just a juggler juggles a lot of balls, and some of them are books. And it's interesting, I never did well in English, and this book and the other two, which I've gotten awards for already, All of Life is a School and The Spirit of Lindy, is a perfect example of what I'm trying to do with Fantasy of Flight. I used to get not great grades in English, and if you would have told me I would be writing children's book, 30 years later, I would have told you were crazy. And so all of a sudden now, I found this talent that I didn't realize I had. So I discovered potential within myself I didn't know that I had. And that's really what the whole Fantasy of Flight concept's about. So this is a great personal example of what I'm trying to get people to do, and that's discover potential.
Now, I gathered from the way you described the character, you're planning on a series of books, actually.
Well, it's interesting. I can't just do something simple. I can't just do, my mind thinks really big. And so when I wrote this, this is a standalone one-off book. But in reality, I've already story arced a series. I've already created all the other characters. This is going to be the first book of a 16-book series.
Wow. You're going to be so busy.
I'm going to be very busy. Plus, I've got at least another dozen templates for the little GB series books, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. So, and then I'm trying to design the next theme park industry.
Right.
I just bought a violin about a month ago, so I'm pulling that out, trying to learn how to play the violin better. And
wow. And not, airplane videos.
And not to mention the airplane videos.
Yeah, yeah. Kermit cams and all
yeah,
that. So.
Yeah.
I love those. They are great.
Well, thank you. I've, I was over in Europe last summer, and I had people coming up there saying, "Ah, Kermit, we love the Kermit cams." You know, I haven't done one in a while, but I've got a couple airplanes.
Oh,
I
got to do Kermit cam comes into Oshkosh. Just fly this approach, you know, on a busy arrival day. I think people go like, "Holy mackerel!"
We'll save her.
Yeah.
Well, what my Facebook fans don't know is I've got a Kermit cam on my head right now. Yeah. I'm GoPro-ing this interview.
Oh, no. Yeah, he wisely chose not to.
Yeah, we would have broken it for sure.
Yep. Yeah, it would definitely destroy. Oh, the footage was irrevocably damaged. There's a big word for a Monday.
So, no, I don't think you're going to become a children's book writer.
No, not anytime soon. I you know, C-spot run. That's my literary talent right there.
No, it would be C-spot fly.
Yeah, there fly, spot, fly.
Well, there's a lot of great pictures in all the books, actually. In fact, the artists were Disney-trained artists. They worked for Disney. And about 7 years ago, they closed the animation studio in Orlando, and everybody's option was to move to Burbank. And most people, probably 80%, didn't want to do that. These people went out on their own, and Disney literally dumped these guys in my lap. So the artwork is off the top. And this book was done by the CEO of the company, and these guys have done, I think they did like 20% of Princess and the Frog, and they're doing some other stuff for Pixar. And so it's a very high-quality book. And just to kind of put a feel for what the book is, imagine Jonathan Livingston Seagull meets Dr. Seuss on steroids.
Oh, geez. Oh boy. Wow. And if you play it backwards, no. That's just
yeah, exactly.
What was that line last night about the movie? Watch Jaws backwards. It's a completely different story.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we thank you for coming in. It actually is a
I like it.
I've read children's book. I have a kid. But this is a lot more for adults than people are going to think.
Yeah, so I invite everybody to come down. Even if you don't buy the book, please come by and read it. And I think you'll find somebody in your life that probably needs one.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Know a lot of people that have their head in the sand. And
you know,
I'll leave it at that.
I'm looking at the book now in front of me, and the artwork is just superb. I'm in the middle of the book, and there's just a scenic vista here that Austin is looking at, and I really want to get an airplane and go flying through this valley. It looks that good.
Good, good.
Actually, there was one illustration in the beginning of the book where they actually duplicated the soft focus of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
The foreground objects were blurred. I was like, wow, that's pretty hard to do in a drawing.
Yeah, these people, you got some good artists here, and it's a good story, too. And here's what he's got something here I've always wanted.
Lighten
my eyes, yes, definitely, for those nights when it's really dark out.
Well, the mission statement of Fantasy of Flight is to light that spark within, which is basically just bringing potential into this world, and everybody needs to discover that for themselves.
You're trying to make the connection. Somebody gets a thought in their head and says, I can do that. And that's what you're trying to inspire. That's important.
Or, as they used to say, get out of the rut.
Well, a lot of EAAers, you know, they've lit that spark, and you can just look around you and see all the potential that people are realizing. And in the process of discovering that, you know, we self-discover and self-transform ourselves. So hopefully when we get Fantasy of Flight going again, probably 3 to 5 years, you know, we'll show people something new that I think is going to really take off and be of interest to everybody.
Cool. We definitely have to go.
I've been to Fantasy of Flight twice. Always blew me away. I was very pleased with the experience walking through the B-17. I thought that was very cool. Plus the collection of aircraft that you have down there. And I got a question for you about one aircraft. I was sitting in your restoration hangar a few years ago. You had an F-6F Hellcat. Please tell me you still have her.
I still got it. It's over at the Golden Hill Storage Facility, and we had that on display for a couple of years where people could actually go back through the storage facilities as a little play on the Smithsonian's Maryland Silver Hill
right.
Facility. Yep. Mine, of course, was called Golden Hill. So,
wow.
No innuendo there.
Yeah, no comparison inspired.
That's going to be a great Kermit cam when you get in that airplane and start her up and take her out for a flight.
I would think just wandering through the storage facility would be a great Kermit cam.
Good. Well, we've got a lot of projects on the go. You know, my sheet metal guy's working on my P-35 Sibirsky. That's going to be a Grand Champ winner one day when we get it up here. You know, we're still kind of tinkering with the Benoit a little bit. I've got some other projects out of the country that are being worked on. We've got a Whirlaway that's an Australian-built airplane. It looks a little like a T-6. That is the there's only two outside of Australia. I've got both of them. We're getting that ready to fly right now. So there's a lot going on. And just for people to understand, we have a seasonal little museum open now. It's just to kind of keep our toe in the water. But it's open a couple months in the summer and then mainly during our winter season. So, you know, check the website if you want to come down.
It's still under Fantasy of Flight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sounds like a good time. Hey, I'll tell you right now, anytime I'm in Florida, I'm swinging by. And my wife is begging me
to
go to Florida.
Since we live in Pennsylvania, it doesn't happen that often. But
when we get there, it's significant.
That's right. We're there with a purpose.
That's
well,
it.
Good. Well, everybody, please come by and say hi. And if nothing else, you know, if you got a Facebook fans, come by. And, you know, happy to say hi
and take a selfie with them.
Absolutely.
Got it. Yeah, got to do that.
Where are you going to be selling the book?
The EAA warehouse. It's the big, it's a northwest corner of the Boeing Plaza.
Right, with the coat hanger on the front.
Air show center. It's the biggest EA merchandise thing out there. So it's kind of by the membership tent and
by the Ford Pavilion and everything else.
Going to be there.
Come out and see me.
Going to be there too. Got to get a copy.
Yep.
I've got the other two. I got to keep the series going.
Well, thank you for stopping in.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you, Dave. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
Kermit, you take good care of yourself.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And you're listening to EAA Radio.